Welcome to Plaid Shirt Overwatch. Welcome to the team previews. Welcome to the dawn of a new season. The Overwatch League 2022 might be delayed, and so are our team previews. And there should be a but there, but there wasn't a but. We brought on Custer, somebody who's knowledgeable, somebody who cares more than Matt and Jonathan, who didn't even bother turning up today.
I care, chat.
Yeah.
I know we a care. Lot about these teams and players. I care the most.
So, team previews, right? We are going to be releasing these thick and fast, and we should be keeping the time kind of short. We'll see how good we do with the first one. The first team we want to start things off with is Shanghai Dragons. We're going to ramp up in terms of excitement here. So we're going to start out with some teams where they haven't made too many changes, etc. But Shanghai are genuinely a team that I think a lot of people think could still win next season, right? I mean, Custer, I want to start off with this. If you had to just place a bet on a team winning the season next season, would it be Shanghai? And if not, who would it be?
I think, see, like, a part of me wants to say, like, Gladiators will be able to take them down this year, or like Seoul Dynasty. But like, in reality, I think this team, like, it's rare to see a team not change its roster and me still be like, yeah, they're still the best team in the world. Usually when teams don't change their roster after having such a successful season, it's usually a bad choice because there's always something you can refine and something you can get better on. But like, I don't think there is. Like, I think every player individually in their role is like the best they can be. And their bench is good. Like, I like having Who Are You on the bench for a random Genji meta or something like that that happens. And he's just happy just sitting there. He's collecting his ring right now. Like, yeah, this is pretty good gig on the Shanghai Dragons. And you add Bebe on top of that, like, who, I don't think Bebe's the best flex support in the league. I don't think he's expected to play that much. But in whatever world we do end up in a double flex support meta in Overwatch 2, I think he's perfectly fine to have on that roster.
Who Are You is actually one of the most winningest players of all time in Overwatch. He's won two Apex seasons and an Overwatch League season. And for two of them, he was sat on the bench. He's played in one out of the three.
A run for his money in terms of like bench gods.
I know. It's him and like Hureg. It's him and Hureg are the bench gods. It's just nuts. All right.
I could have done it better. I could have been benched better than them. I could have done it. I could have been benched way better.
You could have played not a single match and won championship.
I could have been benched far better. Okay, you take a look at my Lucio stats card since 2018, unblemished by stats.
Hey, you had a perfect stage on the bench. That was impressive.
Perfect stage without any deaths.
I should be in that list. I should be in that list of winningest bench players for sure.
We should have a greatest of all time benched players. Actually, that's what we really missed.
That would be fun. That actually would be really funny.
That would be really good. Okay, let's bring back up that roster card again. And let's, since we were talking about Who Are You, let's start from the DPS line. They got Fledder, Lip, Who Are You.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of talent packed into the roster.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this as well, though. When I'm thinking about Overwatch 2 and I'm thinking about 5v5 and the fact that I'm, in my mind, the game is going to be moving into like more of a direction where individuals can have more impact and like across the board, I think.
Are you the only person that has access to it at the moment?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
So I can say as a matter of fact.
That's a really well
that's how the game's being played. And also, yeah, I mean, well, actually, I'll get onto the supports after because we're talking about the DPS for now. But I think you need to be, it's clear that Shanghai have prepped for every contingency. They have game plan onto game plan in terms of what meta might prop up at any point in time. Because Overwatch 2, there's supposed to be, what, 6 new heroes, I think, when the game fully releases. There was like an article about...
Really?
20 years ago.
Who knows if that is still the news
of what's actually going to happen.
Who knows?
But so long ago now, they said that there would be 6 new heroes, I think at least is what they were aiming for with the release of Overwatch 2. Now with Overwatch 2 PvP, I think, hopefully being released by the time I'll start, then maybe there won't be new heroes, but I don't know. Anyway, it looks like they have prepped for a lot of flexibility across the DPS position, and if DPS is going to become a more valuable position with more impact, I think this is smart. They've meta-proofed themselves with Who Are You, I think, being added to this team.
One of the things that doesn't get talked about too much, I think, with Fledder and Lip is how crazy it is that both of them can play Tracer and both of them can play Hitscan. That, to me, is nuts. Yeah, there are not very many teams in the league that have a duo that they can run, let's say like 90% of the time, you'd just be running Fledder and Lip, maybe even more than that, maybe like 99% of the time. And if it's double hit scan, they're fine. If it's Tracer and a flex, they're fine. If it's Tracer Sombra, they're fine. I mean, they're just, Fletter is a hyperflex, and Lip is a hitscan who's also incredible at Tracer, which actually isn't as common as it used to be, because a lot of those kind of players became hyperflex players. Whereas now, kind of, hitscan tends to be a bit more specialized, but Lip isn't really that specialized. He can still play all of the other shit. So it is just a god-tier DPS line. And frankly, I'm not even including Who Are You in the conversation that much, because it really is just like random, I don't know, maybe Pharah's good and they don't want to run Fletter for some reason.
That's why I say about the meta-proofing, because you don't know what heroes they're going to release. Yeah. They might release a hero that slings its own dung and just and just like a projectile that does dot damage or something.
Who Are You becomes the new dung slinger specialist.
I don't know. You don't know what's going to happen in Overwatch 2, man. Who knows?
I think Jay could be the best dung slinger specialist.
No, actually, I don't think that's true. I think if they were they had to bring back a silly hero specialist for the dung slinger, Megachu.
Yeah. Let's talk supports then, Brent. You wanted to talk supports. Yeah. What do you think of the Izzyaki, Legiagon, and Bebe?
I mean, I mirror what Custer was saying, because the big thing here is Bebe being added. We already know how good Izzyaki and Legiagon is, but it's like the added player of Bebe to fill in whatever happens in terms of double flex supports, which honestly could be a reality, given that the playtest we saw of Overwatch 2, it seemed like main supports just weren't really good.
That was also a long time ago, though. I'm sure they'll have made... If all the feedback they got was Mercy and Lucio suck, they must have done something to try and mitigate that, right?
Because that's what happened with Moth, right? Like, Moth was like, I played Mercy and Lucio, and both of them felt completely useless, like, in this game. But I agree with Josh. I think there's no way Blizzard is just like, well...
No, sure.
BL.
Yeah, I don't think they will, but also it's... I don't hate the picker. A lot of people are saying, like, well, why is Bebe even on the roster? But, like, genuinely, Bebe... I've never thought Bebe was bad. I always thought that Bebe, at worst, was average, and sometimes good. And so... You fill in the gap to have the double flex support position now. Like, if a meta develops where you have the double flex supports, they are ready for it.
You know, when I first moved to university.
Oh no!
Okay, Grandpa.
When I first moved to university, I went to Manchester and I'm looking at places, and I went up to one of the people that was there in the accommodation, and he said, "Would you like some home insurance for this apartment that you're renting?" Yeah. And I was there with my parents, because it was my first day there, and we were just looking around and they were helping me set up. And my mom said, "You probably don't want to spend money on insurance. It's just a money sink. You end up just spending. And even if you make a claim on it, it ends up fucking you up afterwards." To me, Bebe is an insurance money sink for the Shanghai Dragons. They're paying into the insurance fund just in case Legiagon can't pick up a flex support. And it's just money that goes away. And even if they have to bring him in, probably won't be that much better anyway. And so it's like buying home insurance for an apartment that you're about to leave in a few months. Yeah. That's how I view Bebe.
Well, okay, the question that I have is, do you think Molly is a better insurance policy than Bebe? Like, which one do you rate better? Because I thought Molly was sick going in 2020, but in 2021, he just didn't play, and I'm glad to see him go on to a team in which he's actually going to play, but I feel like Molly is a better player than Bebe.
Yeah, Bebe is the kind of player, though, that would probably not get starting time on other teams in the league, I would say. After his rough performance last year and how badly that team did, it's not that he's a terrible player. It's just there's better players at the flexible.
So you're viewing it as like a GMing decision of like they chose Bebe simply because he would be content in his life. He's like some sort of he's perfectly okay in his status. And he'll be there.
It's like when you have a pet rabbit, but you have to get two of them. Who Are You was the pet rabbit, and they had to get Bebe to keep him company, because otherwise one of them would get sad. So there's two of them now.
I don't think so, because Who Are You is I think he's Bing chilling. I think he's absolutely Bing chilling.
Your suggestion that Who Are You is going to get lonely, so they had to get Bebe in, so that they could play Genshin Impact together on the bench.
Basically, that is my theory. Connor, what did you do when you were on the bench? What games did you play?
Well, we weren't allowed to. We had to go to the practice area every day, so I was there playing Overwatch ranked, losing my mind. And then, in between that, like once the day was done, sometimes I'd view scrims, like, "Oh, this is what it's like, huh?" Like, you know, I'd watch some scrims, you know, like I'd see what's going on there. And then,
I remember a week where
I played flex support over Neko, so I played flex support for like a week for that team. That was fun. So yeah, you know, you can do all sorts of different shit when you're on the bench sometimes. You know, there's all, I was kind of like a Grima Wormtongue in Huck's ear. I was just there, like, whisper things to him. And that's why at the end of the season, he was like, hey, do you want to be an assistant coach? And I was like, fuck no. So, you know, it's stuff like that, you know, just fun stuff you can do.
I remember as a player, there was in the Blizzard Arena, there was like a player area where there was all the snacks and stuff and there was couches. Every time I was there, Avas was there.
I spent a lot of time
eating some snacks, and I'm just like, and boss, he's like, hey, man, off you go on your day.
I watched every game for the player lounge, too. So I was like, generally, there'd be a council of staff members or other players, and I would always be there in the player lounge.
You could make
like
a skit out of Owl Season 1 of Avas just always being in the player snack room.
You could argue that being in the player snack room was the greatest furtherance of like the greatest propellant for my career than playing the game ever was.
You were socially networking.
You were networking.
I really was.
That was a skybox for the real people. People behind the scenes.
Okay. So all right. Who are you, Bebe? Mostly gonna be benched. It's mostly gonna be their main players that won them the championship this year. But the tank line is where it starts to get really interesting, right? Because to me, Fate and Void were, especially the way that Void played off tank, was so crucial to the way that this team worked. And this season, the way that Fate played Wrecking Ball was also mega crucial. And they really refined and almost perfected that tank synergy with the rest of their team. Is there any world, do you think, where moving down to one tank and requiring Fate and Void to fulfill all of those objectives that the duo of them previously did, is there any world where that hurts Shanghai, where they can't get their old mojo back, where the way that the game has changed ends up leaving them behind? Do you think that's a reality in any of the multiverses that we will inhabit?
Well, yeah, I agree. Like, I think Fate is such an important caller to the team from what it looks like from the outside. Like, he's just like a really smart player, and Void is an off tank, you know, like his mechanics on all those heroes, but you can only play one of them at that point. And if we go into an off tank meta, are the dragons going to have a hole if they don't have Fate in that lineup?
Also, I think the other problem, the biggest, as someone that was a very, very huge Fate proponent for Overwatch 1, I actually think his stocks aren't looking at nearly as good for me going into Overwatch 2. I don't think he has he's not like a Super or even a Reiner where you can expect them to be able to flex onto other roles outside of it. I don't really see Fate being able to do a lot of flexing outside of the main tank role. He has done some in the past, and I haven't loved it necessarily. Yeah, I think he's done a little bit during Overwatch League, if I remember properly. Didn't he play like a little bit of Hog at one point? I might totally be wrong. The point being is that even if a Gardas hasn't shown in the Overwatch League, why is my where am I going?
I love your ceiling.
Where am I going?
You're doing the Matt Morello framing.
Dude, my camera just wants to fucking move. Okay, well, there we go. I'm going to be out of his office soon, by the way. I'm moving soon. The point being is I don't think his mechanics are outside of tank. Is it moving again? Are you shooting me? Stand still, damn it. Yeah, I don't think Fate's going to be that good. Okay, there we go. There you go. I think he'll be great at main tank, though. I just don't think he's nearly a central pillar of this team as much. I'm worried about that.
Okay, well, also, what about the idea, then? I mean, if you consider the Shanghai Dragons of this year, Fate, in terms of what we know about him as a player, seems like he was extremely instrumental. I'm not even talking about his gameplay, but in terms of his leadership and that kind of stuff to the team. But they played with Fearless the year before, and they still dominated APAC, looked like potentially the best team in the league, and then, okay, they kind of flopped when it came to the finals, but there was a fairly large meta shift that happened there. So what do you think about the idea of maybe Fate's leadership not being as important as we give him credit for? If they were able to do it the year before without him, nearly. Okay, they make top four. They make top three. Was it top three? I can't exactly
remember. It's top three, yeah. They lost the soul,
right?
Yeah, I think they lost the soul.
So they make top three in 2020 without him. 2021, they win it with him. Obviously, that's a huge jump from third to first. But how much do you think he's actually important to the team's identity in terms of that calling? Can they win if Void became God mechanical tank in Overwatch 2, how much do you think they'd actually miss his direction, his leadership?
I personally, based off the anecdotes from what I've heard from teams, because obviously, once again, unlike Bryn, who's been gifted access to Overwatch 2, we don't have access to Overwatch 2, right? So, but from all the custom Game Workshop modes that have been done, what the current system was played, the game is it's fucking crazy. Like, it's literally all based off focus fire and dive targeting currently is like the meta that teams have been developing over the past few months in this workshop mode. And obviously, it's not going to be Overwatch 2. We don't know what it's going to look exactly like, but I'm assuming it's going to be similar to this because the core tenets are going to be the same. And I don't necessarily think that like losing a player like Fate is going to be a death sentence for a team, because if your DPS are understanding the basics of like focus fire and flanking and working with your team, you can still get a lot done. But if you don't have a central voice in the fucking chaos that is the 5v5 to identify your focus targets and also to call out your timings, you know, like your 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go, like that type of thing. Like if you don't have that central voice, it can be a very detrimental factor, I think, to a team, which Fate can be. But once again, this is all based off of an experimental mode that's just like a fucking like Einsteinium or whatever, one of those isotopes that exists for like 2 seconds. Like, who knows if it works in real life? I have no idea what Overwatch 2 is going to be like.
Yeah.
I completely agree with the Voss like on that. It's impossible to really know as well. Like, we talk about coaches and like player leadership within a team as well. It's almost, especially in a COVID world where we don't even really get to see or talk to a lot of the players consistently, it's hard to really know the impact that they're having. You know, I played with Fate. He's incredibly smart, but I think you can't undersell the value of like, maybe if they had Fate in 2020, he would have been able to fix that ship in that match against Seoul, right? Because that leadership and that knowledge is what turns the tide in the, you know, these crucial matches. Because Shanghai Dragons has the talent that if they ever finish like below fifth, that's like an absolute catastrophic failure for their team. But they need those extra steps, especially as teams get better. Like, there's a couple of really banging teams this year.
Yeah. They do have an absolutely stacked roster. It is just nasty. Their competition in APAC would be, I guess, Chengdu and Seoul Dynasty, probably the two teams that I would be looking at to put up the stiffest challenge to them. I mean, depending on how Seoul adjusts to the departure of Jonak as well, as he looks to retire. But do you think it's safe to say Shanghai are the number one team in APAC? Maybe not the entire league, but would you say, you know, number one team APAC, boom, you've got the title?
I want to see if Chengdu are going to not be a one-trick team and not just be a Pharah team. You know what I mean? Like, they actually have the talent, you know, with Leave and some of their new additions to actually be really, really good, especially if we go to a DPS-centric meta where Leave can just go sicko mode. Like, I could see Chengdu being sick this year, but I think you have to put your money on Dragons at this point.
Yeah, you could also theoretically say that Chengdu's backline in a universe like is also strong enough to potentially be better than the Dragons' backline in an Overwatch 2 universe.
Yeah.
So there is like some interesting things there, especially when you have the capability of having both Monk and Faraway on a team when they have like Bebe, Izzyaki, right? Like, I would probably rather have Monk and Faraway over if we were in a double flex. So like, there are some things to be said with that, with Chengdu potentially have a lock, and who knows, maybe Spark suddenly fucking figures shit out and understands they have good players. Like, I don't know. It seems impossible like at that point, but there are some real contenders. I don't think Shanghai's a lock, mostly because of how their tank line is going to react to Overwatch 2.
I don't know, man. On paper, I think they are. On paper, but we don't live in a world that's on paper.
No,
we live in a world of mystery.
We are not Flat Stanley existing on an A4.
We live in a world of mystery. So who knows? Like, Overwatch 2 might redefine. I mean, it is going to redefine how tank players have to think about a game.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you fall into the motions of playing alongside a duo partner, I think, when you're playing like tank, and the understanding of the way the game flows in terms of team fights and stuff. But who knows, man? Overwatch 2 might release, and they might just, I don't know, they might just get rid of healing. I don't know. They probably won't, but imagine if they did. I mean, that would be fucking wild.
They kind of, I mean, the healing. They change that they made with you coming out of battle and receiving the full rate of healing.
They put in crit heals from TF2.
Yeah, it's crit heals from TF2. It really is.
I also don't, by the way, as an aside, I don't know if that change is even going to matter because, like I said, from the workshop mode, the fight doesn't end. The fight, we're having a constant battle at all times. So, like, I don't even know if that change, like, how relevant that change is going to be. Like, all these changes we look at for Overwatch 2, the pace of the game potentially changes so much. Our understanding of it is like, it's like going from relativistic physics to fucking, you know, like we've gone to the particle scale, the PIM particle. Like, we don't even, it's not even the same game anymore. It really is like way different.
What I like about Shanghai, though, they are smart players. They don't, They don't just win games by being overwhelmingly talented. They win games by being really smart with how they coordinate and their setups and their like map control and stuff like that. So if there was anyone to figure out how to play Overwatch 2 and push it forward a little bit, I think it would be Moon and Shanghai.
That was my final point that I wanted to make, was that there's always a risk of big rosters that they get mismanaged, but I don't think that's going to happen with Shanghai with the coaching staff and structure they've got. I think they're probably going to have a pretty good grasp in terms of figuring out what is meta and what is the best thing to play. I mean, they've showcased it in the past, so there's no reason to down them now.
Yeah. All right, well, that is the Shanghai Dragons. How good do you think they're going to be? Do you agree with our perception of Fate and Void? Do you agree with Avast's use of his time when he was on the bench? Let us know in the comments section. And subscribe to our YouTube for some more of these team previews. We're going to be doing some of the European teams, and then we'll see where the winds take us. Put down in the comments section as well which teams you want us to preview next, because when we do our set of recording next week, we'll be doing a whole new set of teams. So we'll see you then.